Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
I want to add my welcome to everybody, and it's good to see visitors among us. I hope you feel welcome with us. The reading today is taken from 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to read chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. It's good to see you again. My name is Keith. I serve here at the church, and it's really great. I just wonder if it's well with his soul this morning. I wonder when you sang that song, "Let go my soul and trust in him." Maybe easier sung than done. And I believe the Spirit of God wants us to let go and say, look, Lord, I can't do this. This following that I am called to do, unless it's supernatural, unless you show me what it means to be a Jesus follower, a Christ follower. Lord, this is so hard. And I pray today we're starting, we did our introduction last week, a consideration of a very, very, very young church. Much younger than this church is. Started in 1937. We're starting our considerations of a very young church. Literally months. Paul was a prolific church planter, and he's planted this church. And he's had to leave them. It wasn't his fault. It's just that he was in danger and he had to leave them. And he was worried and wondering what happened to these people. And then he gets news from his fellow missionaries who visited a few weeks after Paul had left and carried on, saying, they're doing great. They're doing great. They really are. And so Paul writes this letter to encourage these baby Christians to keep going in the face of some severe and significant trials. We're going to look at that in a minute. I just wanted to, for the probably last week, just tell you we have a new fridge magnet this year. I know they're huge, but that's pretty good. And it's our motto for the year, live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. And it's talking about our whole motto this year is we are saved to follow. The whole purpose of God saving us is not so we go to heaven alone, although that's amazing. It's actually that we might follow him now and join his kingdom project. He calls everyone without exception to join and follow him in his kingdom project. And that's an amazing thing. So we're going to pray and keep praying for Barry here. Barry's not been well, and so he's not here again. There's plenty of people who struggle to be here. It's great to see Tony with us. And honestly, he gave us a bit of a fright, not least your family, I guess. But oh my word, praise God. Yes, so shall we pray? And maybe as we do, if you've got a Bible or an app on your phone with a Bible, we turn to 1 Thessalonians. Lord, help us to understand what you're saying to this, your church. We pray, Lord God, that we will be a people who are not static in our faith, but Lord, are those who want to move forward and follow King Jesus. Oh Lord, may the King of my heart, may you be that wind in my sails, Lord. I've just sung it to you. Oh Lord, the whole of heaven has sung it with us. And so might it be that we declare today that we are a different gathering. We are a gathering built, Lord, on Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would encourage us. If there's any who are sad, who are perhaps far from you, who've lost the reason why we do what we do, Holy Spirit, come. If there's any who've never said, Jesus, thank you for the cross. I want to follow you now. I pray today might be that time in our hearts by your Spirit that you would do your work. Show yourself, would you, clear to each of us at our point of need. In Jesus' name, amen. I saw one of these news things on social media, and it was it said that it was entitled The Leaning Tower of San Francisco. I don't know if any of you saw that. Apparently, it's not the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It was a high-rise building in San Francisco that the foundations were completely and weren't deep enough. It was flawed. It's an absolutely horrific project. I thank God for our building team and that we're not leaning or anything. This is great. And this tower was absolutely multi-million-dollar tower. And it's leaning. Apparently, you can maybe Google it. It's in San Francisco somewhere. And it's going to cost more to rectify than the original project. How depressing would that be, Tom? And I'll tell you what. So, praise God, we don't have that. And see, the foundation, for a builder, it's obvious. The foundations are everything. And we get frustrated staring at foundations because we want to be in the building. We want to know. But the foundations are absolutely everything when we're building. Oh, that's ours. That's what happened when they built. Thanks, Lou. That's pretty cool. See, this is where we are now. In fact, that place is the Baptist. It's kind of there, isn't it? It's near the keyboard. Where you see the guys is kind of. Is it the keyboard? Probably, I don't know. I didn't do well at. Tech drawing. Probably the other way around, you know. But basically, the foundations, people were frustrated staring at blue boards and holes in the ground. And there was not only foundational issues, there were financings, but we serve a great big God. Don't we? But foundations, and I remember when I came to Jesus, I didn't have any false foundations. I didn't have any, what you might call today, religion. I didn't have a clue at all of what it meant to be a Christ follower. In fact, I didn't even use that term. But there were so many people in my life that had used the word Christian, and I saw such an array of people who were all doing different things, and some were miserable, some were keen, some were excited, some were... It was just... I mean, that's beautiful if it's authentic, but I actually saw people who said they were Christian who weren't following Jesus. And I thought, well, that's... got to be impossible. And so when I came to Christ at 16, my uncle shared the fact that King Jesus has saved you to be his servant, a new master, and he's the best boss you'll ever have. And at 16 years old, I thought, that sounds great. But the foundation, you see, it wasn't the fact that I'd been founded on the fact that I, even though that could have been a blessing, I've been in church all my life. And then suddenly, retrospect, tried to work out what a real Christian was. I had none. So the foundation was deep, deep, deep Jesus. He is the one foundation. We're going to sing it in a few moments in the middle of the message. Unaccompanied, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is not our religion. It's not any denomination. It's none of that. It's are we following Jesus Christ? And that's the foundation. And so we see here in this church here, it's important. And we can, as we read Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, we see that they've got a great foundation. How do we know that? It's because when the Romans come, when Caesar comes, when Nero comes, and he attacks and murders people, this is what was happening in this church here in Thessalonica, they're still standing. And the test of our foundation comes when life falls apart. What is our foundation? Who is it built upon this morning? And I want to take all that other stuff away. And so Paul writes to the Thessalonians and says, you know, you are saved to follow. And I've seen the way you followed over this time. I've seen it. And this church, it was a young church. It's not attracting attention, but simply by its music, its cool new band. Do you know, I've got to say, if you want to drive me mad, just keep telling me about loads of different cool bands and different things that go on. And, you know, I won't say it because I get told off by lots of people. But we can be attracted to different places for the wrong reasons. Is Jesus the center of what's going on? Is it about following the King? That's the measure. That's the foundation. And look what happened when this new church literally was weeks old. Weeks. So this isn't a maturity thing now. Or you'll be like that when you later on, you'll be mature and you'll follow King Jesus. They're weeks old, and this is the accusation of everyone in the city. Listen to what the people in the city say. Do you know what these people are saying? Acts chapter 17, verse 7, at the beginning. They are defying Caesar's decrees, saying there is another king called Jesus. They're a couple of weeks old. This church. This isn't a thing about, let's do a discipleship course for 2 years and then maybe Jesus will be my king. From the get-go, he's my savior and I'm saved to follow a new king. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't that what we want? And so the accusation against this young church by the authorities was that they're talking about another king called Jesus, another ruler. This is going to get Caesar mad. You don't say Jesus is Lord when Caesar is Lord. It's a very dangerous hobby. But you see, this was an essential part of their good news, or what we might say, gospel. They spoke about, absolutely centrally, the life, death, resurrection of Jesus. Absolutely. There's the starting gun. But equally, their allegiance to a new ruler and king who was going to return to fully establish his kingdom was their gospel. And that's what got the attention from the authorities. And I honestly think that when we speak in our workplaces or in our homes or in our streets, wherever we are, if we declare our allegiance to King Jesus, that will get attention. It's nice to tell people that I go to church. Hundreds of people do. But King Jesus isn't the center of anything. And this is so important for us. And the Thessalonians, what I love about the foundation, Paul, literally imagine, he's been a few weeks and he's had to go because his life's in danger. He had to rush out of the city, and already this Thessalonian church know that King Jesus is their boss. You know, they know he's coming back. There's a lot of things they don't know, but they know that they're saved to follow. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't that? And so often I meet people who've been going to church 20 years and say, I said some sort of prayer 20 years ago, but no one ever discipled me. I hear that all the time. Maybe it was an option to be a servant of King Jesus once you're saved. And so we see, it'd be good for us. If we're going to be encouraged over the coming weeks, we're going to be encouraged to keep going when things aren't well. So we can sing that song, "It is well with my soul, King Jesus." Whatever happens, you know, Psalm 46, even if the mountains fall into the sea, read it last week. You know, whatever happens around me in the midst of chaos, I can be still and know that you are God, Psalm 46. And that's where we're heading with Thessalonians, to encourage each other that whatever the weather, we can know We can put our weight, our faith, our trust in King Jesus who called us. And I just ask the question today, do you know that certainty in your heart this morning? Because that's the certainty that the Spirit of God wants us all to have. Life will bring its wobbles and its stresses, but knowing that he is good, yes, for sure. And so how does Paul build this foundation? Because maybe you're sat there now thinking, well, maybe I'm kind of thinking my foundation is a bit wobbly, having heard that. I've been going to church, my foundation's been about going somewhere. My foundation's been about believing a list of things, a set of doctrinal statements agreeing with things, but not allowing any transformation of that. Maybe my foundation's been loving the church I go to, or the pastor, or probably no danger of that, I don't hope, but you know, my wife might, yeah, it's good. But how does Paul build this platform? And he starts by reminding, and I want to remind us today, we're going to sing in a minute as well, that who we are as a gathering. Can I say this is not just a group of people today? Paul says firstly to this Thessalonian church, he writes this beautiful little letter that you are the gathering of God. You are the gathering of God. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't a friendly gathering just for the sake of being. This is the church of God. These are the people God has tapped on the shoulder, who He's called into this gathering to be His set-aside people, not superior to anybody. In fact, those who realize that without Him, they can do nothing. But they are the church of God. This is a beautiful foundation to know, because the enemy will help us and will encourage us to lose our identity, primarily, individually. And as a gathering, we need to know as a foundation stone that we are the church of God. And it might seem obvious, but see, the word here that Paul uses is ecclesia. It wasn't a spiritual or religious word in those days. It simply meant the people's gathering. All sorts of councils in those days had people's gathering, had ecclesia meetings. Do you see? So this isn't a kind of special word, just, but he takes it and says, but you are the ecclesia of God. You might attend 100 meetings a month. I don't know. Meetings at work in the staff room, meetings with the boss, meetings as a family. But this is the whole gathering of God's church. I spoke about this some time ago. There is an assembly in London called the Sunday Assembly. I spoke about this. I've spoken about it a couple of times. In fact, this Sunday Assembly, if you go on their website, Google it. This Sunday Assembly basically gather just like we do. It says that everybody is welcome. They are a secular organization. In fact, let me not tell you about it. I'll read it from their website. And I want you to try and identify anything different from our gathering. Let me read this. The first Sunday Assembly was started by Sanderson Jones and Pippa Evans, two comedians who were on their way to a gig in Bath. Sorry. I like a laugh. When they discovered they both wanted to do something that was like church, but totally secular and inclusive of everybody. This sounds quite good. No matter what they believed, as long as you're not a Christian. Although they wouldn't say that. The first ever Sunday Assembly took place on January the 6th, 2013, not long ago, 7 years, at the Nave in Islington, London. Almost 200 people turned up. Wow. That's at the first meeting. 300 at the second, Half of them invited a friend. And soon people all over the world asked to start one of these Sunday assemblies. Now there are over 45 Sunday assembly chapters in 8 different countries. I don't think they're Hell's Angels. Inspired by the original Sunday assembly and operating independently, where people, this is what they do. They sing songs. They hear inspiring talks. They create community together in a family. They are friendly with an inclusive setting. And they say, the people who run this, why do we exist? Well, what a great question. Don't you wish someone was there to tell them? Augustine says, our chief aim is to glorify God. Enjoy Him forever. Why do we exist, says the website. Life is short. It is brilliant. Well, maybe for them. It is sometimes tough. We build communities that help everyone live life as fully as possible. The only way to really understand Sunday assembly is to experience it for yourself. There will be a sing-along, songs, moving stories, testimonies, whatever you call that. Passionate speakers, all finished with tea and coffee. Well, we've got some competition, Tom. Or coffee and donuts, serious competition. Isn't it great, though, what we have? But just by being with us, you should be energized, vitalized, restored, repaired, refreshed, and recharged. No matter what the subject of the assembly, it will solace worries, provoke kindness, inject a touch of transcendence into the everyday. But life can be tough. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. We have moments of weakness or life just isn't fair. So we want every Sunday assembly to be a place of compassion where no matter what your situation, you are welcomed, accepted and loved. You can join a choir, sing in the band, attend and facilitate self-help groups, welcome those who are socially isolated, host potluck dinners, share hobbies and much more. Most of all, have fun, be nice and join in at a church near you. So if any of those reasons are reasons why church doesn't work for us, then the Sunday assembly is doing quite well. But this is the church, says Paul, of God. This is God's church. This is not some assembly, some weak thing. Oh, we want friendship. Oh, yes, we do. Of course we want compassion. We want those things. We want, and I'm so grateful for the love of this church. When I felt down and discouraged, and people have said, Keith, I've been praying for you, and I didn't even know what you were facing. But do you know, Paul says, Thessalonica, look, remember your foundation. You are the gathering of God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. It's a different to the ecclesia, the people of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Yahweh of Old Testament, the one true God, to the gathering He's brought in Thessalonica and not far away in verse 5 today, that gospel that came through the power of the Holy Spirit, to the church of Father, Son and Holy Spirit gathered in His name. This is who you are. Isn't it beautiful? I can forget that actually, you know, yeah. Come to a gathering of God's people. Yeah. I don't know. Do you like the music? Do you like the music today? Do you like the music today? Do you like donuts today? I want to play that and get donuts and people chat to me. And I love those things. I want all that. I love it. But centrally, if those are the foundational things of who we are, when those change, it will crack. Those things are amazing. Let's do those things, but remember, we are the church of God. That Jesus is the center. And those things will be ever so sweet as well. But if we forget who we are. Do you know Goliath, one of my favorite junior church stories. And I never went to junior church. You're blessed here if you have all your life with our session leaders and amazing. It was 1 Samuel 17, David, Goliath. And Goliath says, who's this skinny little lad in front of me? And you know, David says, he knows who he is, who his identity is. He says, you come at me with swords and spears, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. That's what the difference is. We are gathered here in the name of Jesus today. Isn't it great? So firstly, we are a gathering whose allegiance is clear. This is the gathering church this morning of God. Isn't that great? Isn't it great? You know, the enemy desires, Satan, that the church loses its identity and just tries to emulate all the good things of the world. And there's nothing wrong with them. We don't want to come to end up in black sackcloth next week and have gruel and water. It's not going to happen. I want the best. I would love the best donuts. I would love the best thing. I love the great music we have. I love all of those things. And I want a friend. All that. And let's do that. I honestly think when the Spirit of God comes and He is in the center, we do those things better. Because our motivation is far, far different. This is what the Hebrews church in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, written to a bunch of people who turned to Jesus from Judaism. So they were used to being religious. Religion's a great enemy of this. It can be good, by the way, not all, but it can give you so much structure that you forget who you are. That I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of the King. But the Hebrews writer writes to this church who is saying, well, do we need to worship angels? What about Moses? What about this? What about the Sabbath? What about that? And in Hebrews 12, one of my favorite, he says, remember who you are. Hebrews 12, you have not come to a mountain church. This is who you are. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged no further word be spoken to them. Listen to this. You have come to Mount Zion. You've come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly who join us this morning as we sing. You've come to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. And the Hebrew church, you have come above all to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Remember who you are, church. And we're going to sing now. I'll shut up. And we're going to sing our allegiance about our foundation as Jesus Christ our Lord. And then I'll just got a couple more points and then we'll close. But can you see the Thessalonians right at the outset? To the ecclesia, to the gathering of God the Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Spirit of God, you are Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God's people. And I just feel so wow with that. Wow. So we're going to stand and sing. I'm going to try and start it off, and I'm no singer. So forget low key or high key. Sorry. But just try. It might feel better standing, if you can. But don't worry. So shall we try this? You might dim my mic just after I've started, because I don't think the church will appreciate my gifting in that area. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation, by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet what o'er all the earth? Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder we see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, the cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping be the morn of song. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth have union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee. Amen. Please take a seat. You know, I just need, I hope you didn't mind that. I just need to, that's quite unusual, I know, but in the middle of a message. We did that before, but God is, I just need to know, because my identity, when my own frailty comes in, I need to know that I belong to the King, and that I belong to a wider thing, which is bigger than me, the church. And Paul says a great foundation, you know, you are the church of God. You know, don't lose that identity. Caesar's going around this place in Thessalonica telling everyone he is Lord, but you know who really is. And isn't it great that we know when someone bullies you at work, when someone, how many people kind of play the God card? Maybe a bit of power goes to the head. And we can know who's really in charge. And do you know one thing? When I was in jobs and work in industry for many years, when I was uncertain about whether my job was safe or what that person thought about me or this or that, one of the great things was knowing that Jesus was Lord, really. And that, you know, I wasn't going to be there a minute less or a minute longer than the Lord, my King, wanted me to be. I got great comfort from that. And it took the heat out of worrying about it. Not all the time. But you see, the underlying thing was that I just knew who the King was. That my dad was bigger than their dad. That's the right thing. And Paul then, what I love about the way he creates this great foundation is Paul surrounds the church in Thessalonica with prayer. Isn't that a great thing? In verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. I was so encouraged. On Wednesday night we had our elder meeting. And Ian came into the meeting from the children's and youth prayer evening in the new prayer room. Please check it out. And he said that 18 people came to pray for our youth. I think that's pretty impressive. Yeah, yeah. Paul says to the Ephesian church, our struggle in Ephesians 6:12 is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Pray for me, says Paul, and verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So often when we do a talk on the armor of God, we miss verse 18 off, we finish at 17, which Paul says, and don't forget to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We always thank God for you, says Paul to the church at Thessalonica. That great foundation church of God. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. And you know, what I love about the Thessalonians, the chapters weren't originally there, but still it's the same effect. At the beginning in chapter 1, Paul prays for the church. In chapter 3, in the middle of the book, he prays for the church. And in chapter 5, at the end, he prays for the church. So at the beginning, middle, and end, the whole thing is surrounded and enveloped in prayer. The letter to the Thessalonians. In chapter 1, he says, I just want to thank God for your story so far. I thank God for the fact that you responded to the gospel and I saw transformation. I continue to that. And in chapter 3, he prays for their ongoing witness. I pray that you'll become, your love will increase, that you'll become more and more like Jesus. You'll be set apart, holy. And in chapter 5, he says, and I'm also praying for you at the end, that actually it will be the Lord who will sustain you. Keep going because it's the God himself who sustains you. May God himself, the God of peace in chapter 5, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. And this is the verse, 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. He's going to do it. What a wonderful way, can I just say, isn't this a wonderful way to surround each other in prayer? If you're stuck for how to pray for someone next to you, if you're stuck for that, what a wonderful, just like Paul surrounds the Thessalonians in prayer, how does he surround them? He thanks God for the Lord's work so far in their lives. He prays that they will continue to develop into the likeness of Jesus. And he prays and he thanks God that he will sustain them till the end. Isn't that a beautiful way? Lord, I thank you so much for Chris, for Ian, for all sorts of people in this room. I don't want to embarrass people. I thank you for their gospel work, how you've worked in their life so far, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to develop in that brother or sister your likeness. That, Lord, you'll continue to help them by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that they will be sustained in what they do because you are the one who will see your work through to completion in them until you come. Isn't that a beautiful, holistic prayer foundation? What a foundation as a church. Thank you for the work of this church from 1937 right through till now. Thank you for the ongoing work of your church. Lord, there's a long way to go. We pray for your continued power and Spirit to reveal new things. And Lord, I pray that we will be and remain that gospel witness until you return. What a beautiful, rounded prayer. I just love this. So Paul's introduction here today provides a solid platform. Can you see that foundation? This isn't the Leaning Tower of Thessalonica. This is a church that knows they are the gathering of God. And when you know you're his, he's my father. I'm adopted into his family. He loves me so much. Nothing I can do can make him love me any more or less. I'm caught in the hollow of his hand. Isn't it beautiful? And when I know that people are praying for me, say, Lord, I'm praying for the work you've done so far. I'm praying that you will continue to grow. I'm praying that you'll keep going in the face of great pressure until the Lord comes or takes you. That's a pretty good foundation, right at the outset. Knowing who they are, surrounded by prayer, and I'll just close with this. Because this isn't a passive gathering. Paul wants them, he thanks God, and he says, I'm encouraged because you are a congregation of faith, hope, and love. Verse 3, it's there, we see it in your scripture there as well. In verse 3, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul actually, even though we say it's following the title today, in faith, hope and love, Paul talks about faith, love and hope. It doesn't matter, they're all in there. And this is a common phrase Paul will use throughout his letters. This is an early one of Paul's letters. He's going to use it quite a bit in the New Testament. You'll see this faith, hope and love appear a few times. And he uses it regularly to capture the service of God's people. He says, I must just thank God for your faith. What he means here, the word here, means total allegiance. Total leaning on. A complete, it's like I'm not going to lean on that music stand. It's good for music paper, but I don't think music paper weighs as much as me. So, but there are other things. There are seats we're sat on today. Faith, I thank God for your total allegiance. I thank God for your love. Here the word he uses is that agape, unconditional. He's talking about their love, not just his. I thank God for your complete, unconditional, unfailing love, unquestioning love. I thank God for your hope, that secure trust in the promises of the one who says so. And so Paul says here, I thank God. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love and your endurance. Work, labor, and endurance. Work is the outcome, the fruit of your allegiance. I thank God for the fruit I see. You're not just saying you're a Christ follower. I can see the transformation. I see the work of what you're doing. I see what's happening here. I thank God for that, the visible stuff. I thank God for your labor, which is a determined service. You have to be, you labor at something when you love it. That agape, determined love, that complete against all the odds. An endurance when things are really tough, because we endure, because the one in whom we hope will never let us down. What a church this is to the church at Thessalonica. How dangerous this church is going to be for the kingdom. Can you just imagine as I bring this down, whether it's you as an individual or us as a church, how dangerous we might be if we truly knew our identity. Not with an arrogance, but with that beautiful confidence. We are the gathering of God. He has brought us to this point for this time. Imagine if it was characterized by prayer. Praying for what God has done so far, for our continued service, that he will finish his work in each of us and in this place. And imagine how dangerous it would be as that poured out into fruitful work, determined service and labor that endured with great hope in King Jesus. Oh Lord, may this be so for us. I just really pray. Maybe I'm talking today and you're thinking, what is he talking about? The sort of faith I've been used to has been distant, far, impersonal. In fact, my faith has been tied to how I feel about the building, those I'm with. Maybe some of those things listed in the Sunday assembly have been more important to us than our following of King Jesus. I want to pray that, Lord, I get things in the right order. Lord, that you remind me regularly, Holy Spirit. And next week we're going to look at serving, because none of this isn't about legalism or working it out. Next week is serving and following in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm excited about that. And I just pray, whatever your situation now, and I would appeal to you with all of my heart as we just sing again. Come to King Jesus right now. Jesus went to that cross for you. He went for everything he'd ever done, past, present and future, and everything I'd ever done. When I was 16 and I realized that I could never please him with my life, if I lived 1,000 lifetimes, I just said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I didn't even have a Bible at the time. I had Matthew's Gospel, which was that was enough. It was a beautiful verse in there. I had a little book I thought was the Bible. It was one book of the Bible. But Jesus knew what I needed. And I needed to come to Jesus for forgiveness at the cross. But then, my life was never to be the same. It was transformed. I was watching a video this week of it was some teaching about this sort of thing. We're going to sing, but I just want to tell you this. And it was on the movie Castaway. Anyone seen that? Tom Hanks. Well, apparently he's in a plane crash on some exotic island. And by some miracle he survives, but he's got a fiance back at home. And basically there's no news, and he's on this island for 4 years. And there's no news, and everyone back at home basically just thinks he's died. His fiance marries, has a child. Everyone moves on. In fact, they have a funeral. And what they put in the casket is lots of pictures and memorabilia. And they hold a service for him. Anyway, miraculously, he escapes and comes back. And he realizes that everything has changed. His life will never, ever be the same again. And when we come to the miraculous realization, when the Spirit of God works in our heart and reveals the cross, thinking of that picture of Castaway, that is exactly what happens to us as Christ followers. It is not that we add simply another place to go in the week. Everything changes because King Jesus is now our ruler and he leads us into a new life of following him. And it's the best life ever. Not because I tell you. Jesus said, I've come to give you life in abundance. Follow me and I'm going to transform you and make you into people after my business. So I appeal to you today. I'm going to pray now as the band come up. If you've never said a prayer like this, what I'm going to pray, maybe just listen carefully to this prayer. And if you mean it with all your heart, in my fumbling way, then please don't leave this building today without sharing that just with someone you trust, maybe someone you came with or myself. I'd love to speak to you. But let me pray. If we could just bow our heads to respect those who may be seeking now. Maybe you're a believer, been in this building since you were an egg. And this has not happened to you. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to pray now. I've been marooned in my life like Tom Hanks. I've been marooned in my own little island of interest. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I want a miraculous escape. Thank you, Jesus. You have provided a way to the Father that was always meant to be the cross. You've died in my place. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you've conquered my biggest ever fear, death. You rose again, that I might be with you as I come to you. And Lord, now you, as I turn to you, you claim me as your own. And you ask me to go about your business. In my everyday life, in my work or school or home or community. And you ask me to tell others and to follow you into everything until you call me home or until you return, King Jesus. So I give you my heart and allegiance completely now, Lord. Thank you that I can be adopted into your family. You love me so much that you call me. Oh, Lord, perhaps I've been doing this a long time. My foundations have been all just wobbly. I'm the leaning tower of faith. Would you, Holy Spirit, dig down deep that I might know that I am called to your gathering. But I'm called individually, that I might serve you as my king. Oh Lord, I come to you. Be my foundation, King Jesus. May I serve you with all my heart afresh. May I see you afresh. And Lord, may you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, please, I plead with you. Don't leave here with unanswered questions. But come or chat to someone you know. We'd love to pray with you. God bless.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.